Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we are here tonight, and I just acknowledge and confess my weakness and help, need of help, to share the wonderful story of love, and pray for any that would be in the meeting tonight that aren't saved, just that they would know that they are loved by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would be attentive to their need of salvation tonight. Give Michael and I help to share that message as clear as possible and just to be used of you. So just commit the meeting to you. Thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. I was tossing around the idea of telling my testimony tonight. Might. We'll see how the notes go. So you might hear a story, you might not. But I was thinking, every time I come up here and have to preach, I'm going to put that under there. I'm going to play with it. Every time I come up here, I honestly wonder why we do this. The simple message of the gospel: Jesus loves you, he died for you, you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and I could just get down and be done. But it's a privilege to be up here and to try and be used of God as much as possible to show you that you have a need. I don't know how to do that. I couldn't, if you're not saved here tonight, I don't know the secret code, I guess we'll say, to work into your heart, into your soul, to touch that little point that would wake you up to your need of salvation. And even if you're a little kid here tonight, the songs that we were singing, Wonderful Story of Love, it's not for the adults only, it's for you. Jesus loves you. I was thinking of that song, the first song I gave out. It was for me, and my mind went to probably the most famous children's hymn of all, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and we sing it with the kids. And Jesus loves you. He died for you. So just because this seems like an adult meeting tonight, I do want you young kids to listen. So what's the point of being up here? Well, it's to share the good news of salvation. What is that? And I was thinking about that. We were at Michael and Kara's this afternoon, and some verses were rolling around in my head, and I'm going to try and lay these out in a good order, try and talk about them, and then maybe have a little talk about Paul and Silas. So in Romans chapter 3, if you have a Bible, I was just about to get you to do a sword drill. I haven't seen them in a while, but we won't do it. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that little word, all, I could say all of us here, that would include every single person in this building. But that all speaks for every person that has ever walked on this earth and will ever walk on this earth. And just on a side note, that should tell you the magnificent message of the gospel, that it never runs out. There is not like a tank full of salvation, and then when it's done pouring out, if you're late, you're not getting it. This message is unending. It's an eternal message that Jesus loves you and died for you. That little word all has your name in it. So you could even take that tonight. I remember growing up and hearing this, put your name in there. For Ian has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that. I'm still not a very good person sometimes. But Jesus died for me. So can you, I'd like you to just maybe put your name in there tonight. For you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a terrible message that would be if I ended right now. You're just stuck in your sin, and there's no way out of it. Not so. 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So pay attention, pretty much, pay attention to what I'm saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am chief. Paul could say that because he did some pretty wild and wicked things. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we read in Ephesians, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're out of luck, as it were. But now we read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look at that. Now we have something to save us from what we are. We have someone. We have the Son of God, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Okay? So you say, I'm a sinner. Christ came into the world to save me. Cool. How do I get saved? Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, because of God's grace, you're saved through faith, through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for you. He came into the world for you. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some of you might have heard tonight that, well, if you're a good person, if you go to church and you're nice to people, maybe give some money to the poor, give a little chocolate bar to the homeless. If you do good things, that'll eventually accumulate, get you into heaven. This verse right here, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And to take away from that would be just horrible. You're taking away from the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, that he died for you. It's a free gift. I would like show of hands. Okay, maybe I'm going to get snagged here, but be honest. How many of you have had to pay for a gift? Well, it's not a gift if you had to pay for it. A gift is given. I've given things and people have not accepted them. I don't like that. I've made things that took me time. Thought somebody would really appreciate it. I give it to them. Something small, but that little thing, and they just, yeah, I don't need that. And you know, just as a side tangent, that made my mind think of how righteous God is sending you to hell. That might sound very bad, but I'd like you to think tonight of something that you hold very dear. Some of you have a child. Some of you maybe, I don't know, have a, Titus, you got some really valuable guitars. I think of something that's very valuable, and you think, oh, you know what? I'm going to take that valuable thing that I highly value, give it to them, and they're going to love it. And then they just take that and smash it. Makes you mad a bit. The difference is God has righteous anger. He sent his only son, and if you just reject that, say, don't want that. Not for me. Just a man that came, walked on this earth, he died, they made a mockery of him, and apparently 3 days later he rose again. Yeah, I don't need that. Essentially, you're just, no thanks, God. He is very righteous for where your soul is going. Think about that tonight. That sounds harsh, but it's the truth. And that's essentially what we're here tonight, is to tell you the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that is you, if you're not saved tonight. We're all sinners. Just most of us here are saved. So if that wasn't clear enough, Matthew 11. You can read there. Matthew chapter 11, towards the bottom end of the chapter. So we started off, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So again, you have sinned and you've come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we've just read that you're a sinner. So Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. How do you get saved? For by grace are ye saved through faith, through trusting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he came into the world to die for you. It's a gift of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So you can picture it. I like picturing things in my mind. So I think of just, I watch Daryl all the time with Jade. He's down there. I'm going to get over here. Come here, Jade. Does that. It's kind of funny to think of God doing that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful or blasphemous, but the love of God should make it very clear that he's that affectionate. To send his only begotten son for your soul. He's just there waiting for you to say, you're right, Jesus paid for my sins. I'm coming to you. And Jade comes to Daryl with a great big smile and a waddle. She usually runs away from me, but it's an affectionate love that God had to send his son to die for you. And just briefly on a tangent, we've been going through Revelation in our Bible study. Most of you here know that. And I've just been thinking, why would an eternal God who knows, he's omnipresent, he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he knows everything. It makes no sense in my mind that he would create a world that's going to sin, fall, and he's going to have to send his only son to pay for your sin. To me, that speaks of how much he wants to have a relationship with you. Because in the beginning, he knew you. Jesus knew you right here tonight on the cross when he paid for your sins. That is tremendous love. So, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is just wanting you to come, to accept that Jesus Christ died for you and to give you rest. That does not mean you're going to have a perfect life. Lots of us go through relationship struggles, health struggles, family trials, death. Sin cannot be, I can't think of the word now. Anyway, your sin is paid for, but God will be there to help you through things. In the end, your home is in heaven. Last little thought I'd like to have is about Paul and Silas, Acts 16. I think this is a pretty clear message of just a very simple. It wasn't in a church. It was. I can't properly describe it, but a very dingy spot. Not a nice spot. Not in the perfect climate. There is no perfect spot to get saved, to accept Christ. It's just right here tonight. I personally was saved in my bed on a Thursday night. It wasn't the meeting night. It wasn't Sunday night. I was laying in my bed. Read John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Good enough. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's just simple as that. Acts 16. We'll start at verse 16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So the way I take it is she was a fortune teller. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, excuse me, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, because she made them lots of money, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So my mind goes to this little hole, because it's not like they had a great big 40-ton excavator to dig out holes in the ground back then. It's like a hole, a little tiny spot to put them in. Their feet and hands are in stocks. I worked underground for almost a year, and I used to go. I like the dark. There I did. I don't even like running upstairs in the dark at home. But for some reason in the mine, it was so peaceful. But down there, you turn your headlight off, and it literally was just thick. But there's water dripping everywhere. It's wet and damp. And that's the way I picture this. Is they're in this little cavern in the ground. It's pitch dark. There's water dripping around. Gross, uncomfortable. That's where they are. Where was I? Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, verse 24, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." This is what I want you to pay attention to. Then he called for a light and sprang in. So he got he was going. He wasn't just whistling a tune, sauntering down the hallway. He was getting there as fast as he could. He sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Verse 30 and verse 31 is what I want you to focus on. You could see that he had an urgency. He knew, I might die. And if I die, I'm going to hell. So take a minute tonight and just, like, I don't know where you're at. Are you saved? If you're not, this is just facts. You're going to hell. But there's a remedy. That's what I've been talking about this whole time. So this jailer knew where he was going, and he wanted to get it resolved. So he come running in. So he saw he had a need. He knew he had to get it done right now. Like, there's an answer for this. I'm going to get it figured out. There was an urgency, and he made it his top priority. So have you made it a priority in your life tonight? Like, are you serious about it? Or is it just, yeah, the gospel is, I've heard it, I grew up with it, and for 17 and a half years, it's just like, whatever. Like, they got it, I might, yeah, I know it's true, and hell's a thing, but, like, the Lord won't come. Have you made it a priority? This jailer did. He come in and said, "Sirs, what must I do?" If you're asking that tonight, what must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. That is, this whole book is God's word. Right there, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I told you I got saved and quoted the verse, and I'm going to do it again because I like it, and it is a great verse. John 3 and 36. Again, this word believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is a promise from God. God cannot lie. So therefore, if he cannot lie, because he says this, I'm going to heaven. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So I just want you to think about that tonight. All have sinned That includes you, and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus, he came into the world to save sinners. You're a sinner. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Matthew 11 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will quote it again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. May the Lord bless his word.